Sound is probably going to be a little off on this one. I'm using my phone to record because I'm being lazy and just laying in bed. But I figured I'd answer those questions. So, let's see. What is the first thing you remember? I was actually just talking to my dad about this, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago maybe? For, well, up until 2 weeks ago. I've thought that the first thing that I could remember was a time that we went to a place in Southern California that my aunt and cousin were living, and it was my cousin's birthday. And their house was close enough to whatever restaurant we were going to that we could just ride bicycles there. And I was way, way, way too young to be able to ride a bike. So I sat on my dad's lap, and he held me with one hand and, like, steered with the other hand or whatever. And we got to the restaurant that way. And I remember that part. I remember, you know, being too young to ride a bicycle myself. And my dad being the one to, like, you know, fix that easily. And then when we got to the restaurant, you know those, like, open signs that some storefronts will have posted up that are, like, the little neon lights? I want to say fluorescent tubing, but I don't know if they're fluorescent, but whatever those kind of lights are, there was, like, a cowboy shape made out of those lights, and it was, I don't know, like, yellow and green and hot pink. Excuse me, not pink. And it looked gigantic to me then, but I'm sure that it was just my low to the ground perspective making it look huge, and it was probably closer to, like, hell, I don't know, 4 feet, 5 feet, something like that. But it was, you know, life size, and or kind of life size, it was giant size to me, but they had one of those things posted up outside the restaurant, and I mean, I'm guessing that the, like, board thing that it was next to had specials written on it, or, you know, drink prices, or, oh, fuck no, I was a tiny little kid, I don't know what the hell it said on there, but I remember a cowboy light thingy and, like, a board nearby with stuff on it. Oh, excuse me, so I'm guessing that's what I said, but anyhow, my dad and I were talking about this just recently, and I can remember when his father passed away, I can remember, like, very, very, very vague, isolated details about the wake. I remember the way that the inside of the building looked. The funeral home or the church or whatever it was held in. Oh, I'm so sorry. I should probably sit up, but this is so comfy and I got my kitty and... Yeah, so if I yawn 1,000 more times, I apologize. I'm speaking really softly, too. There. So, I remember the way the building looked on the inside. And I remember seeing my dad cry for the first time. Which seemed weird. I mean, he wasn't, like, sobbing, but his eyes were definitely red and tearing up, and like, he was crying, like, and it just, I hadn't seen that yet, and I suppose it had enough of an impact to stick with me. And I don't think that I had seen a funeral either at that point, so that was a new experience. I mean, you know, the whole energy is very, very somber. And it's, you know, that's sort of a gathering. It's just, it's, a funeral is a very distinctive event. So I guess the combination of this weird new event where everybody was in this mood that I didn't quite understand, I guess, or whatever, however that registered to my tiny little fucking stupid self, combined with seeing my dad cry, was I suppose novel enough, or obviously powerful enough to stick with me. Excuse me, but yeah, come here, kitty. Come here. I was. Oh, shit, man. I want to say either I was already 3 or I was 2 and about to be 3 when my granddad passed away. So it's possible that that is actually my first memory, but I mean, the bike ride and the neon cowboy are the only things that I remember about, and that it was, you know, my cousin's birthday. Those are the only details that I remember about that one, and neither one of my parents had any fucking clue what I was talking about. So, we weren't really able to figure out when that happened. So we're not sure what my earliest memory is, but I think we have it narrowed down to those two. Anyhow. Yes, kitten. It's the end of a long day. You're tired, you're hungry, you're kind of sick of it all. Who or what do you want to see most when you walk through the door? It can be anyone or anything, and it is this little motherfucker right here. Cupid. Come here. Oh, you done already? Three, what is the one thing you hope will never happen to you? My mind is going in a number of places with this one, but I'm just gonna go with the first thing that I thought of, which was being paralyzed. Number four, what gets you out of bed every day? What goal drives you on? What can you not give up on? I suppose it's just better than the alternative. God, that's so depressing sounding. I don't mean that to sound so depressing. But I don't know. I don't really have a more inspiring answer than that. It's really just a matter of, I mean, not even thinking. Like, this isn't a thought process that I go through every time. It's just, you know, the sort of thing that's in your mind, and just, it's just there. It's like a background process that's always running. And it's that if you don't get out of bed and you just stay there, then, I mean, it's not even that things are going to stay the same. Things are... Yes, Butto. Come here. Things are going to get worse for sure. And it's not going to take too long either. And if you get out of bed and you know, stop there pretty much. Just do the absolute bare minimum that you need to continue getting by however you are. Then things aren't necessarily gonna get worse. Not, you know, guaranteed. Anyway. But they're also not gonna get better. They're just gonna kinda stay the same. And I mean, hey, if wherever you are currently is a place that you're happy with, then that's cool. Go for it. Things staying the same is probably not gonna be all that bad of a thing. What, man? Come here. Vera. Vera. Hey. Well, come here. Come here, Munchkin. There you are. Come here, Vera. I knew you'd be back. Anyway, yeah, but if you get out of bed and do, I mean, ideally more than just one thing, but if it's one of those days, then I guess you just do what you can. So, if you get out of bed and you do even just like one thing that is aimed toward growth or toward progress or forward movement, then that's going to be better than nothing. And that's going to be better than the bare minimum. And if you want things to improve from where they currently are, then, I mean, that's the choice kind of makes itself, you know? Sometimes the temptation to just stay in bed is a very strong one. Oh, I love this little dog so much. Yes, you. My tummy growled and ruined the moment. Which is, it's kind of a common trend for me, unfortunately. I have a very talkative tummy at very inopportune times for tummies to be talking. You know what? You could say fuck everything that I just said for that question, and the answer could be that I can't sit still long enough to not get out of bed. Yeah, let's go with that. That sounds a little bit better. If you could type in, handle the phone more delicately. If you could type in a cheat code that would grant the human race one scientific branch of knowledge immediately, i.e. universal teleportation and all the information, understanding, science, skills, and materials needed to make it work, what would you choose and why? It would take me forever and a day, or I mean, if there's a time limit, it would take me the entire time allotted to make the decision here, because it might not be, I mean, it might be better off to decline the offer and, you know, just let us earn the knowledge, basically, let us come upon it ourselves rather than have it be handed to us before we're ready. But perhaps that's where the debate would come in, as to whether it would be better to choose a branch to be granted or not. But if I were to go with yes and decide on one, I don't know whether to call it quantum mechanics or quantum physics or quantum something else, but just the whole quantum umbrella, if that can be the answer. Quantum shit. The scientific branch of quantum shit. And the reason why is, I'm not even going to pretend to begin to understand most of it. And like when I say most, I don't mean like, you know, like 60, I mean like 98% of it. On a conceptual level, what I hear of it blows my fucking mind and sounds incredible, and conceptually I can mostly follow it, but when you get into the actual application and the the technical aspects of working with it, basically, that's where I can't keep up at that point. But the theories that I hear about and read about, and their potential applications, and the potential other discoveries that they would either lead to or assist in making, basically, have certainly piqued my interest enough to want to go with that one. So, yeah. Quantum shit. Quantum key. Motherfucking quantum. She's like, I love the fuck, just keep doing that. Fucking phone, come on. Where the hell did the questions go? I fucking had them. Jesus, finally, Someone stole your pizza. Who was it? See, that's one of the, advantages to eating like a picky vegetarian hippie faggot. Because nobody really wants to steal the pizza that is covered in mushroom and artichoke and fucking eggplant if they have it. Oh my god, it's so good. And broccoli and garlic and tomato. Oh, fuck, I want pizza now. Oh, and spinach. Oh, and jalapeno, oh my god. Mushroom and jalapeno pizza is the fucking best. But, you start throwing shit like that on the pizza, and it seems like most people suddenly kind of lose interest, so, I think my pizza is probably safe from being stolen, usually. mean, the cat might try and sniff it. She might try and like jack a corner if there's just cheese, but I think other than that, I think my pizza's pretty secure. Are you more an a place for everything and everything in its place kind of person? Or don't touch that pile of crap, I keep my keys in there next to the box of M&Ms kind of person? Can I say both? Because I'm gonna say both. Ideally, everything would be, you know, in accordance with the first of those choices. But as it stands, certain areas of my home, vehicle, it kind of, it kind of extends the vehicle, I guess. Yeah, just like certain places are like that. Like, my closet comes to mind first. I have all my clothes, probably overly meticulously organized. You know, it's like sections according to season, and then according to, I mean, the distinction pretty much comes down to fabric, but I don't really think about it like that. I think about it as, you know, how dressed up is this going to be versus how, like, casual is this going to be or whatever. And then each of those sections are organized by color, just because it makes it easier to find shit. And then my shoes are similarly broken down and sorted. They're kind of, I don't know, that sounds such a fucking weirdo, but last time I reorganized my shoes, I was thinking about how I would break down the, I don't know, the classification of the sorting choices, distinctions, whatever the hell I'm trying to say. And I don't know, I couldn't quite wrap my head around it, which sounds like such a fucking stupid thing to say because they're just fucking shoes, but I don't know, heel height is one of them. Open toe or closed toe is one of them. Material and or occasion and or, you know, like how dressy are these or whatever, that's kind of another one. And then how often I wear them is another one. So there's those different levels, I guess. No, there's just those different whatever branches or something of classification. But none of them really takes precedence. Like with the clothes, it's, you know, seasonal is pretty much first, and then occasion, and then color. You know, there's a definite taxonomy, I guess, going on there. But with the shoes, I mean, they're all divided by those distinctions, classifications, and it all works somehow. But none of them seems to be the predominant, or like the first or the top most level of it. So, yeah, that's way more information than anybody ever needs or wants to know about my closet. But, yeah, sorry, I'm a little tired, as you can probably tell. But yeah, so, back to the question. There are certain areas that are very much a place for everything and everything in its place. And they tend to be places like closets or drawers or cabinets or anything that gets, you know, closed up and out of sight afterwards, or after you're done accessing it. Blah. And then for the, like, open area are things that do have a place and should live in that place, but that get used too frequently for them to ever really get put back properly as they should, because I'm just lazy like that. To be quite honest, that's really what it comes down to. Yeah. It also kind of depends too on if, like, somebody else is gonna be here, or, you know, like, if it's not just me, then it gives me a hell of a lot more motivation to tidy up more comprehensively. But, like, when it's just me, I don't really mind if that stuff is still sitting where I left it last time, because then I know where to find it easily, and saved me a trip to wherever its home is, which is totally, like, just, you know, a lazy ass justifying being fucking lazy and, like, trying to rationalize it. But at least I recognize that's what it is, I guess. I don't know if that counts for much if you're not gonna recognize it and then stop doing it, but whatever. So it's kind of like modular. It's like modular, organized. Modules of chaos. No, I'm fucking saying that wrong. Chaotic, modular, organized modules. You know, there's stuff, and it stays together, and, like, whatever the thing is, it's organized within itself, but it's nomadic. So there's, like, little organized, I don't know, piles or containers or collections of chaos. Or chaotic whatever's of organization. I'm done. You get it. I'm done. I'm very organizationally minded, but my laziness keeps me from being as tidy as one might expect with how, I don't know, like, detailed and OCD and anal retentive I can get about actually, you know, making something be organized. So, yeah, there's that. What are you squeaking at? You can have lightsaber. Color, shape, scent. You know, we're gonna go with pink. Surprisingly enough, yeah, we're gonna go with pink. None of that pastel shit, and none of that, like, bubblegum shit, or what do they call it, like, carnation shit, or, like, that Pepto-Bismol nasty, no. It's either, like, so pale pink that it almost looks white, which I'm still not that crazy about, but I guess it could, whatever. Or it is, you know, like, just straight up hot pink. which still, like, just pink, and my mind is so, like, not. Ugh, but whatever. When it comes to, like, underwear and stuff like that, and, like, pajamas and stuff, pink has always been, for whatever reason, just, it doesn't, you know, it's perfectly fine. Like, pink, yeah, let's go for it. Sweet, that's perfect, that's fitting, that's totally, you know, as it should be. But you're trying to incorporate that into, like, regular wardrobe pieces, and I'm just like, no. No. But, I don't know. Apparently, either the color looks good on me, like it actually does, or it's just, you know, like a way to try and get me to, like, be more girly in my manner of dress or whatever the fuck. But apparently pink is a good color for me. So I have, I don't know, kind of, I don't want to say grudgingly, because, like, it's not like I'm, like, it's a fucking color for, like, a shirt or whatever. It's like, fucking resent the color of your shirt, but, it's definitely been a slow process for the desire to, wear that color to actually manifest itself and to, like, cultivate the desire or whatever the fuck. But I do have a couple things that are pink now that I wear. I mean, not terribly often, but whatever. I do wear them sometimes. It's progress. Fuck it. So, God, why do I keep end up talking about fucking clothes? Pink lightsaber. Hot pink lightsaber. Or, like, super icy pale pink. Shape would be... either, like, some kind of fucking corkscrew thing, or, excuse me, or, like the standard cylindrical shape, except with, like, bulges, you know, I mean, not, like, graduated bulges necessarily, but just, well, I guess graduated could be fun, too. I don't know, just bulges, like, yeah, it makes, like, an hourglassy kind of bead or whatever the fuck. I don't know how to fucking explain this shit right now. That shape. And then scent would be, alright, so if this lightsaber is just for shits and giggles, then the scent is gonna be popcorn, because fucking popcorn. If this lightsaber is actually for fighting, or for, you know, use as a weapon, or a defensive item, yeah, then the scent is gonna be chloroform. And if it's a sex toy, which is, I mean, we're fucking the lightsaber, right? I mean, that's where you were going with this, right? Or is that just where I've gone with this? Because a hot pink graduated or not graduated bulgy beaded whatever the fuck shape lightsaber is, I mean, you know you're gonna want to fucking stick that in one place as soon as you fucking see it. Except for the... Are you impervious to the lightsaber by chance? Because I guess that part might be important. But assuming that you are, the scent would be unscented. Excuse me. Yeah, because fragrance-free things are better for down there. And pH balance and all that fun stuff. It is the future. Cloning with memory restoration is now possible. However, there are some mistakes made sometimes. Yours is that, whenever faced with singing in a karaoke bar, right, you can only remember and perform one song, though you do it flawlessly. What song is it? It is Time to Say Goodbye by Andrea Bocelli and Sarah Brightman. There are a couple reasons behind that. The one that jumps to mind first is that my grandma really, really, really likes Andrea Bocelli's music. And she knows that song and loves that song. So, you know, that would definitely bring a smile to her face, which is always awesome. But beyond that, just for, you know, my own reasons for wanting that or whatever. Okay, well, the biggest one is that if I can sing a song like that flawlessly in any situation, under any circumstances, then that means that I would be able to sing that song, or sing at least as well as it would require to sing that song in other situations too, and that would make me, I mean, I would be able to sing like a fucking hell of a lot better than I can sing now. I mean, that would really be really fast improvement, and that would be really, really, really nice. So that part would be great. And then secondly, secondly, just, you know, help stay up to brush on Italian pronunciation. I know there are only so many words in that song, but whatever. And then the other thing, being a duet, there are parts of that song where they're both singing at the same time. And if I can sing that motherfucker flawlessly, that means that I can do that, you know, double voice fucking shit that I want to say Tibetan monks can do, but I don't know if they're the Tibet dudes. And I don't actually recall what the hell it's called. I mean, it might just be something as simple as like double singing or double chanting or something like that, but that almost seems too easy. But I do know that there are monks. I'm not sure where. It's just, I hear monk and word association, the first thing that comes to mind is Tibetan. So, but yeah, whoever the monks are and whatever the name is of the thing that they can do, I would, you know, like necessarily be able to do that if if I can sing that song flawlessly for karaoke. So, yeah, definitely that song. And oh, come on. Finish this sentence. Peanut butter and honey. Oh, can I change it to almond butter though? Almond butter and raw honey on this really, 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 really yummy bread that you can get at Trader Joe's. It's some chia seed, maybe just chia, millet, and one other, you know, hippie sounding grainy healthy thingy. But the fucking bread is so good. Oh my god, it's so good. It's like the softest, spongiest bread that
I have maybe ever had, and it's I mean, it's just like a loaf of sliced bread. It's like sandwich bread, but it's thick and like dense, and it's so fucking like moist and fucking oh, and like all the grains and stuff in there. It doesn't make it crunchy, but it's got like a chew to it, like a chewy from little seeds and shit and. But and it doesn't go stale. Like, I mean, I keep it in the fridge just because it, bread lasts longer in there, but like it stays good for so long and it's just so fucking good. So yeah, peanut butter and raw honey and that hippie Trader Joe's bread. No, almond butter. Almond butter and raw honey and the hippie Trader Joe's bread. And with that, I am gonna end this because I don't even fucking want to know how long.